I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm the big dog, Chasey J, joined alongside, you already know who it is, nasty Nate Tringale. Nate, how the hell are you?
It's good to be back, man.
Counting down the days, what are we, 6 days away now as we're recording this? I'm pumped.
This is an exciting matchup, too, coming up on Thursday.
They always start out hot now. I like that. Thursday night games, usually the big ones.
Yeah, I mean, Bills-Rams, that's a good start. I think that's going to be a good matchup. We'll see who comes out on top, but we're not talking about either of those teams today, are we?
No. We're talking about our final division of the Octopod. We finally did it. 8 divisions about to be down. 8 divisions about to be slayed. We're going through the hardest one, the AFC West. Uh-oh. This,
really
I gave you a call and I said, dude, I'm getting gray hairs right in this dock because I don't know. I think this division could go any way. Before we get into the Octopod, make sure you follow us at PSO Sports 1 on Twitter and Instagram and Pointless Sports Opinions on everything else. TikTok, we have a website I will be posting here soon. So will Nate. Nate's going to be posting a lot of fantasy stuff throughout, right? You're going to be a big fantasy guy.
Yes, sir. This year. We'll see. It always starts out hot, and then, you know, every single running back I ever pick up gets hurt.
Yeah. Backs, I learned this year, the running backs are tough. It got rough towards the end. I was like, shit.
Yeah, running backs get thin fast. They really do. Especially when I'm picking the draft, it's easier to do this. I always like to pick multiple running backs, you know, early in the draft. But after, you know, when you're picking late and I'm just trying to pick the best guy available, it's a receiver.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, if missing out on a big-time receiver, whew, that's tough. Like, your brother has good running backs, but no receiver. He's trying to get Cortland Sutton from me. I'm like, no, it's not going to happen. all right. I can't wait for your fantasy stuff so I can just steal your advice and use it against you in your own league. But we're going to be talking about the AFC West today. Man, I'm ready. I'm ready. Do you want me to just go right through it? We're going to start the Denver Broncos?
Bronco Nation. Denver Broncos. We're starting with the Broncos?
We're going to start
let's ride.
Let's ride. So the Broncos, additions. Of course, we all know quarterback Russell Wilson was acquired in a trade with the Seattle Seahawks, along with a fourth-round pick for two first-round picks, two second-round picks, a fifth-rounder, Drew Lock, tight end Noah Fant, and defensive tackle Shelby Harris. Offensive lineman Billy Turner from the Packers. He signed a one-year deal worth up to $5 million. Defensive end Randy Gregory from the Cowboys signed a five-year, $70 million deal with the Broncos. And then defensive tackle DJ Jones signed a three-year deal worth $30 million. Obviously, I think we got to talk about Russ. Let's just talk about Russ himself. Is he going to be what he used to be? Or did we see the trend go down already?
I think we're going to know pretty early on. I mean, I hope we get to see the old Russ, because I picked him up in fantasy in like the 11th round or something like that. I was very happy with that. But what I'm curious with him is, you know, Seattle has had a terrible offensive line. But he had good weapons. You know, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett there. And in the last couple of years, he has had injury struggles. I really think with a good offensive line and coming in healthy, we've seen it before. You know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady goes to a new team, and, you know, they might start off a little bit slow, but once they get clicking, you know, they both won Super Bowls. So we might see more of the same from Russ. And I honestly think there's a very good chance of that. I'm excited for this team. He's not the only addition that I'd like to talk about, though. Randy Gregory, I think that's a big deal there, too. Lost Von Miller last year. He traded into the Rams. And went and picked him up in free agency this year. I think that is going to be a big, big signing. Along with Pat Surtain and...
they've got a good defense.
You know, they've got a good defense there. And he's going to, you know, just... going to get a few more sacks, going to get a lot more pressures. I think that's huge.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot better team. New coach as well. Offensive-minded guy, right?
Yeah. Nathaniel Hackett from the Packers.
Packers offense coordinator. So, yeah, offensive guy. I like it, too. I don't want to break down too much about it because I'm going to tell you what I think at the end, obviously. Departures. Teddy Bridgewater. They lost him. In with the Dolphins. Quarterback Drew Lock, as we said. Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater. That'll send your franchise back about 10 years. Quarterback Drew Lock, he was traded to the Seahawks, obviously, as we talked about. So it was tight end Noah Fant. Offensive tackle Bobby Macy, he's gone. Defensive tackle Shelby Harris, another guy traded to the Seahawks. And cornerback Kyle Fuller, he went to the Ravens. Nathan. Anybody significant? I mean, Kyle Fuller kind of sticks out to me. He's a pretty good corner. Other than that, I'm glad they...
Noah Fant.
He's a good weapon. Russ would have been good to get. That would have been like a Greg Olsen type for him.
Yeah, I think, I mean, especially, not that their receiving core is weak by any stretch of the imagination. You know, Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, it's decent. But it's not top tier. Having him there would have been nice, but obviously going to get Russ, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I feel like adding Tim Patrick would have been good, but, I mean, he tore his ACL. I think that would have just made, you know, leveled them up a little bit, because right now I think they're just a little bit above average in the receiving core.
It's a lot of depth. You know, obviously they don't have – and there's only four to five teams in the league that have a, you know, number one receiver.
Yeah.
So, Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams, there's only a handful of them in the league, you know.
Yeah. I think overall, Broncos, they didn't really lose much. It's kind of what we're getting to. Let's go through their draft here. Second round linebacker, Nick Bonito. Sorry. Third round tight end, Greg Dulcich. Fourth round cornerback, Damari Mathis. And defensive end, Ayoma Uwazarike. Uwazarike. How do you like that? anything stick out with this? Or are we good to keep?
I like how you put the pronunciation in there.
I didn't want to fuck his name up. Ironically enough, I probably messed up like three other guys' names, but for him, I didn't want to mess it up. I think it's just a good overall. I mean, you don't have a first round pick. That's always tough, but, you know, I think they just added spots they needed to.
Exactly. Nick Bonito, you know, that could be a good second round pickup. When you don't have the first round draft pick, though, you're just not gonna have the big name guys in there. You know,
yeah.
You're not obviously not getting the Aiden Hutchinson, the Sauce Gardner. You know, you're not making any news by any sort of the. But solid draft.
Yeah, you ain't getting any sauce in the second round. All the sauce is gone. Sauce is gone after the first.
All sauce
round.
Is.
Sauce is gone. After
just
the
just
first
noodles.
Round. Yeah, just noodles. That's all you get. Just Dolchich. That's all you get. All right, strength of schedule, 15th hardest. So they went 147, 142 in 2021. Nathan, I'm going to let you have Denver because you've been on them longer than I have. So I'll let you go first with this one.
Like I said, we've seen it before. A veteran quarterback goes to a different team and lights it up. Like I said, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning both – I wouldn't expect this team to come out right away, guns a-blazing, and, light it up the first maybe even 5-6 weeks of the season. I think it might take them a little while to get going, especially first-year head coach coming in as well. But I think towards the end of this season, once this team is kind of locked in, I think this team's going to be extremely dangerous coming down the stretch and into the playoffs. That being said, I do think they will make the playoffs. I have them, like you said, 15th toughest schedule in the league. Nothing too crazy there. I've got them at 12-5. Like I said, I think there's a good chance they're going to start off a bit slow, but I think they're really going to win some games there at the end of the schedule.
Do you have them top of the AFC? Who's your top team in the AFC?
The Bills, 13-4.
Holy shit.
Man. Like I said, man, Russ coming in, I think the last couple of years are going to prove to be outliers in his career. He had a down year in, 2020? Last year, had surgery on his hand halfway through the season, missed about, 5-6 weeks because of that.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be just fine. Honestly, I had my eyes on Cortland Sutton for this draft. I think he's going to be... In fantasy, I think he's going to have a great year. So, I didn't get him.
I wish I did. But yeah, I got him.
I know.
I'm kind of pumped for him, too. I think this team, despite everything that's going on, they still got a lot of question marks. Russell Wilson, as we've talked about, I get it. You said he missed 5-6 weeks. Everybody thinks that Russell Wilson missed a fuck ton of games last year. He didn't. He only missed 3 games last year. And also, he played 14 games last year. And he had his lowest completion percentage since 2017, which Russ was known for being surgical. You know, that's what Russ is. He's efficient. And he only completed 64%, you know. But also on top of all that, look at his stats with that horrible team. 25 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions on the year. And this, like we talked about with Cortland Sutton, I think Jerry Jeudy's going to be good as well. Javonte Williams, we haven't talked about him. Yeah, there's a good chance he's the top back in this league. You know, I really like Javonte Williams. This old line's kind of spotty.
I like to hear that.
There we go. We're just complimenting each other's fantasy teams. I think if they weren't in the toughest division in football with a rookie head coach, I'd give them a lot more wins. I'd probably give them a 12-5 record. But since this is the first year for everything, I think there's going to be some pieces that still need to, that just don't fit just right. So I'm going to say 10-7 for the Denver Broncos, which before, remember, I told you I thought they weren't going to make the playoffs when this first happened. Remember that?
I will tell you, I do remember that, by the way. And I've been just hoping and waiting the day I can prove you wrong. So, but listen to this. The last, what does worry me, the last 5 weeks of their schedule are Chiefs, Cardinals, Rams, Chiefs, Chargers. That's a tough way to end the year.
And before that's Baltimore. Baltimore, Kansas City, Arizona, LA, Kansas City, LA. That's where I think they're going to rattle off, maybe go like 1-5 or 1-4. You know,
see,
that's why.
But from week 3 to 15, I have them losing 2 games.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, too, out of every other team in this division, because I think it's really going to be, this division is just going to be chipping off each other, taking wins from one another.
I do. In fact, for just about every team in this division, I have them splitting. I really don't have anybody sweeping.
Yeah, I was the same way. Yeah, I agree 100%. But I just, in Baltimore.
It's going to happen somewhere. I just don't know where.
Yeah, and Denver has the easiest strength of schedule out of any other team in this division. I don't think any other team other than them is outside the top 10 hardest schedule. So they're going to have an easier schedule than everybody else. But like we said, those last 6 weeks, geez, that could be a tough stretch. That's why I think they start hot.
Yeah, that's tough.
Here, good example here. They're the Arizona Cardinals of last season. They started out hot and fell apart a little
bit.
Later in the season, Russ gets a little
banged. I don't think their collapse is going to be quite as bad. But
no,
I definitely think, because I actually have them losing. Like I said, from week 2 to 15, I have them losing 2 games, and then I have them losing the final 3 games.
Damn. Yeah, and I mean,
so like I said, I don't think it's going to be quite as big as the Cardinals last year, because I think they started off, 9-10-0? I think 9-0 or something.
Yeah, they went pretty crazy at the beginning.
And then ended up 11-6.
Yeah. I was just throwing it out as a comparison. The team that starts out hot, it fades away a little bit.
I totally agree with you, though.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else about the Denver Broncos?
No? Not at this time.
This time, no questions. LA Chargers, 9-8 record in 2021.
Ooh, I'm excited about them.
I feel like this division's your division. I should just let you do the entire division, because you love the Chargers, you love Denver, you hate KC. Like, you just got so much yin and yang all over the place. Additions: they signed tight end Gerald Everett from Seattle. He signed a 2-year, $12 million deal. Defensive tackle Austin Johnson from the Giants signed a 1-year deal with the Chargers. This is a big one. Linebacker Khalil Mack from the Bears acquired in a trade with the Chargers in exchange for a 2022 second-round pick and a 6th-rounder in 2023 from the Bears. Huge pickup there. Huge pickup. Also, they got Kyle Van Noy from the Pats. He signed a 1-year deal. And then cornerback J.C. Jackson. I feel like I've said this is a big deal a lot, but J.C. Jackson, from the past, 5-year, $82.5 million deal. Nathan, floor is yours. Let me hear you spread your juices everywhere about the L.A. Chargers.
One more guy I don't see on there, but I want to mention, is Sebastian Joseph Day from – they signed him in free agency from the Rams.
Okay. Give me a spiel.
Brandon Staley – coached him when he was the defensive coordinator there in LA. I'm excited about a few additions here. Khalil Mack, this team struggled last year on defense mostly. I think they were ranked 29th in the league at total yards against. I think they were something like 26th in the league total points against as well. Khalil Mack, Sebastian Joseph's Day, and J.C. Jackson, I think those are obviously, but this team could not stop the run last year, and I think that's and Brandon Staley knows that. Brandon Staley knows exactly where his team's at, knows what needs to be done. Now the question is if it's going to be fixed.
You can't leave out Bosa either. You can't leave out Bosa.
No, absolutely, and that's I think that's Khalil Mack. Struggled a little bit in the last couple of years there in Chicago, ever since the Raiders. Kind of had a little bit of regression there, obviously. So him coming off the other side with Joey Bosa.
Yeah. I mean, look at...
Hogging all the double teams over there.
Yeah, and look at guys like Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul. Guys that rush the quarterback that... Once they joined a defensive line that had another guy that the offensive line had to worry about, these guys all of a sudden saw their career numbers go up. Jason Pierre-Paul had pretty good years in Tampa Bay. So did Sue. You know, like, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think Khalil Mack, honestly, if you told me he had a better year than Bosa this year, I wouldn't be surprised. J.C. Jackson, huge pickup, because their corners were bad, man. They were getting toasted every – remember, they were last, I think, at passing yards for a long time throughout last season. They always got
– and close. Rushing. They were like, just – yeah, it was a mess.
Yeah.
But part of the problem, you know, last year – Brandon Staley runs a 3-4 defense, so, you know, coming into a team that's already set up for a 4-3, I can see it being a little bit of tough transitioning to kind of more your style without the right personnel. And I think this is going to be, you know, there was a lot of criticism for Brandon Staley last year. He's got to learn how to manage games a little bit better. That last game in... against Vegas looks pretty bad, so I really do have high hopes for this team.
Yeah, we'll save that take for the end, because I got a special take for that one. That pisses me off.
Uh-oh.
All right, let's go into the departures here. Tight end, Jared Cook, he's gone. Offensive guard, Michael Schofield, he's also gone. Defensive lineman, Justin Jones, he went to the Bears. Linebacker, Uchenna Nsou, or Nwosu. Is that good? From
Nwosu.
Nwosu? Yeah. I don't know why. I had a stroke reading that one. That was tough. He went to the Seahawks. And linebacker Kazir White, he went to the Eagles. This is a very, very light departure list.
Yeah, not a whole lot of big negatives on here. Jared Cook, tight end. Obviously, they brought in Gerald Everett from Seattle for a couple of years.
I don't know if I like that change. Going to Everett from, I mean, I know Cook's older, but like Cook's definitely more reliable than Jared Everett ever would be.
I agree. I don't think it's a massive drop, but
at the same time, though,
you've also got Eckler, you've got
Herbert Keenan never Allen, throws.
You've got Mike Williams.
He never throws to the
I had Jared Cook last year for some time in fantasy, and I know he doesn't really throw to the tight end too often.
There's no reason that Jared Cook shouldn't have caught 10 touchdowns, but Herbert just does not throw to tight ends.
Yeah.
But I don't think they lost that much. They really didn't. And whoever they lost, you had to J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack. We already talked about it.
Yeah. I mean, and they did pick up a guard in the draft as well, Michael Schofield leaving.
Yeah.
You know, everything they lost, they plugged the hole already, so...
Yeah.
And that's a common thing. I'm going to go over that with you here in a second. But that's a common thing with this Chargers team.
Plugging holes?
Brandon Staley.
Sorry. I'm in
fifth grade. I know how you feel here. And I
keep running the same joke. draft. First round, they took guard Zion Johnson. Third round, they took safety JT Woods. Fourth round, they took running back Isaiah Spiller. Spiller was a big name. You know, and there's a lot of question marks about Eckler, if he can stay healthy the whole season. Like you said, Zion Johnson, that's a guy that could fill Schofield's spot. What do you think?
I think the Zion Johnson pickup and the Isaiah Spiller, and there's always going to be that little bit of worry, injury concern from Eckler just because of his size. He's a small guy, man.
Yeah. And he's a workhorse, too.
He is. I mean, I think that's going to – Isaiah Spiller, I don't see him playing a big role this year, but he's going to add some hopefully not much-needed depth.
Spiller's in that perfect sweet spot for running backs, though. Once you get to the fourth round, it's like, ooh, I think this is a good time to spend it on a running back.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I kind of – I don't know. If Eckler goes out, this stuff happens all the time.
It does, and that's why I said hopefully they don't need the additional depth, but if Eckler goes down, it gets short fast.
I feel like Eckler's – I mean, I get it. I people really like Eckler, but I feel like he's still underrated. I think he's a really good weapon if he stays healthy.
Nobody talks about him. You know,
he doesn't get as much love as, like, Zeke. Zeke still has defenders more than Eckler has fans. I have Zeke on my fantasy team, too. I'm just sounding like a hypocrite here, but still.
Weird draft. Drafting Zeke.
I have Zeke and Saquon. Hella weird draft.
Oh, man.
2018 All-Pro team. Strength of schedule, 10th hardest schedule. Opponents had a 150 and 139 record in 2021. Nate, I'll let you have – you can have Denver and L.A. first, and I'll do the last.
Okay.
These are your teams.
All right. No, I really do want you to go first here. I do.
Oh, okay. You want me to go? Oh, wow.
I would like you to go first.
Okay.
I do.
So let me start off by saying that there is no excuse for a team with this much talent to miss the playoffs. But the same could have been said for last season. I get it. Your defense was tough. You had one of the best offensive lines, one of the best offenses, and you had three games that were lost by your head coach. Three games, including the last one, which is an all-time fuck-up. And this guy was getting crowned way too early. I think we are way too early in Herbert and Brandon Staley. I get it. Herbert's putting up the numbers. I get it. Staley is this new offensive mind, and he could be like McVay. I get it. But right now, we're getting all this hype about this team that went 9-8 last year, and the team that they missed out in the playoffs was run by Derek Carr. I get, oh, Derek Carr's really good. Yeah, suck my ass. No, he's not. He's an average to a little bit above average quarterback, and he should not be beating a top three quarterback in the league, though, is what I'm saying. I think we're just a little too early on crowning Staley
and
Herbert as the next big thing.
If we're calling it Herbert a top three quarterback in the league, I will agree with you. We're a bit early.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of lists. There's the top 20 players in the NFL, and a lot of people were pissed that Herbert's name wasn't up there. Lamar wasn't even on that list. Is Lamar better than Herbert? Now, okay, before I get attacked for not giving Staley and Herbert a reach around like everybody else is, before I get yelled at, that doesn't mean that this isn't going to be the season that happens, that these guys actually prove that they're worth all this praise. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that's not what this means. I think this easily could be the season. They got a lot better on defense, a lot better. And this offense is arguably a top in the league. You can easily argue it for top in the league. If Keenan Allen is consistent like he has been, Mike Williams had a lot of good stretches last year. Austin Eckler, unbelievable last year, fantasy-wise, and just in general, he's electric. And then, yeah, you guys have Justin Herbert, like everybody's been talking about. Any other team with this much talent, I would say this is going to be the best team in the AFC. But since it's the Chargers, I know something crazy is going to happen. I'm going to drop a couple wins. I'll stick at 11-6.
That's very respectable.
Thank you.
A couple things. First of all, I will agree with you. If we're calling Herbert top three, I think we're a little bit early. I think top five might be fair to say right now, but top three hasn't even made the playoffs yet.
Some people are putting him above Burrow. Like, there's ESPN. No,
he hasn't made the playoffs yet. Like, I get it. He's putting up the numbers, and he looks electric. He's got a huge arm. He's pretty accurate. He's got the legs. He's got everything. But he's got to make the playoffs. Before we're talking about top three, he's got to make the playoffs first.
If he makes the playoffs this year, too, in this stacked AFC, I'll give him as much praise as he deserves. You know, because right now, you know, I'm not even putting him above Lamar.
Yeah, I agree.
Lamar's got an MVP, and Lamar's got a playoff win. Two things that he's even been to the playoffs, something that Herbert cannot relate to. I'm just leaving it at that, right off the bat.
All right. So, actually, second of all, before I get into my side of the Chargers here, your boy Saquon, I just got a notification on Twitter that said Saquon Barkley is locked in, and it's a video of him at the U.S. Open watching a tennis match. So,
hey, listen, good luck. As long as it doesn't say Saquon out for the season, I don't care what the fucking ESPN.
That's true.
It could be Saquon. That's true.
You know what?
It could be Saquon smoking crack, and I don't care. As long as he stays healthy.
As long as Saquon's healthy.
As long as he's healthy and as long as he's hitting the hole. I don't care if he's hitting the crack pipe, too.
As long as he's hitting the cracks, he's fine. Yeah.
Hitting the cracks.
All right. All right, so the Chargers. Here's the thing. Like I said about plugging holes, last season when Brandon Staley got offered this job, this team had two holes. Defense and their offensive line. Right?
Okay.
Actually, three holes, I'll say, because they needed a quarterback before last year as well. Was it? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was the year before. They drafted, he's had 2 years.
Yeah.
So two holes. The first season, you know what they took care of? They overhauled the offensive line and had one of the best offensive lines in the league last year.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know what they did on defense this year? A gaping need.
A gaping hole was plugged.
J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack, Kyle Van Noy, Sebastian Joseph Day. This team's going to be all right. I do believe that Brandon. Now, and here's another concern. Like you said, Brandon Staley, as far as game management goes, that has been a concern. You know, I trust his ability. He did it last year with the offensive line. I trust his ability to build the roster, that organization and himself to build that roster. But if you're managing yourself out of games in this AFC, you're not going to be okay. I think he can. I think realistically, this team can go 12-5.
Okay, so we weren't too far off. You're just gonna...
No.
I think, yeah, and then guess what? The Raiders, 12-5. Kansas City, 12-5. Mm-hmm.
Everybody, not quite. 12-5. Not quite.
I like your, I do agree with a lot of things you said. I like the whole analogy. That was nice. I just think, this team should be 13-4. They should be, but it's just, I still think there's like question marks with Staley.
You've still got a young quarterback and you've still got a young head coach. There's going to be mistakes and you expect that. But last year, some big mistakes when it came down to game management.
Yeah.
You know, not a whole lot of grunts from Herbert. Look at Herbert. Like,
yeah.
In that game against the Raiders, Herbert had a hell of a game, had a hell of a fourth quarter. And just to get it to overtime, like, he had a great game, and it was just kind of a crazy ending, I guess. But
poorly managed is the word.
Yes, I mean.
Like, people are very open to be like, hey, Cliff Kingsbury makes a lot of bad decisions coaching. And then Brandon Staley makes, like, four, and nobody says anything.
I will 100% acknowledge them. My hope is that they learn from him and move on. He's a professional. You know, he's a coach in the NFL. If he's going to be successful, he has learned from them and will make less mistakes, and this team will win more games.
Yeah.
If not, he won't be there very long.
And if we all recycle, the earth will be perfect and protected. And if we all pray every night, nothing bad will ever happen. There's a lot of what-ifs in these. I'm just giving you shit. I think 12-5 is reasonable, at least. I can't wait to see them play. I think that's going to be a fun team. Las Vegas.
Yeah, it is.
Let's talk about the Raiders. I love the Raiders. I really like the Raiders this year. I'm probably going to watch a lot of Raider games this year. I don't know why. But they went 10-7 in 2021. Let's go through their additions. Wide receiver Davante Adams from the Pack. He was acquired in a trade in exchange for a 2022 first-round pick, 2022 second-round pick. Adams also signed a new contract worth $141.25 million over 5 years, with an average of $28.25 million per year. Fat contract for Devontae. They also signed defensive end Chandler Jones from the Cards. He signed a deal that will pay him roughly $52.5 million over 3 years. Defensive tackle Bilal Nichols from Chicago. He signed a 2-year, $11 million deal. Cornerback Anthony Everett from Baltimore signed a 1-year deal. Cornerback Rock Ya-Sin, he was acquired in a trade with the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for defensive end Yannick Ngakoue And safety Duron Harmon, he signed from the Falcons. He signed a 1-year deal with the Raiders. Obviously, we got to talk about Devontae and Chandler Jones. Devontae's a big pickup. It was big whenever it happened.
You've got Max Crosby coming off one side and Chandler Jones, who's still doing it, by the way. He's still getting after the quarterback, man. That's going to be – this team is going to be exciting to watch. But out of especially any team in this division, I see this team with just so many question marks. And I know you don't trust this team, and you probably have them rated a little bit worse than I do. But I just don't know. I don't know. This team could be – it's got a wide range. High ceiling, low floor.
Very true. Very true. Maybe the highest ceiling and lowest floor out of any team in the NFL. Because yes. I could see a variety of things. Me looking at the additions, I don't see any offensive linemen. And that scares me.
Yeah.
That's not good. Because this offensive they just
waived last year's 17th overall pick.
Yeah.
Alex Leatherwood.
Yeah, Leatherwood. And also, yeah, they're releasing first round picks left and right. This is a perfect.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Perfect segue.
Out of the last 5 first-round picks they've taken, they have 0 of them on the roster.
That's not good. That's really bad. That's
other really than this bad. Year's.
And how
or
many
actually, teams, they didn't have one this year.
How many teams get away with that? There's not many. Even the Patriots, who are notoriously known for fucking up first-round picks, it's starting to weigh on them now. Because it's like, oh, shit, we don't have a Super Bowl quarterback.
See, and that's the whole thing. Because, you know, I remember at some point in this Octopod series, it was the NFC West. It was about the Rams. You brought up a point that I made about trading all your first-round picks away. I understand you can go win a Super Bowl by trading. If you told me this team made an AFC championship game, I'd believe you. But if you told me this team missed the playoffs, I'd also believe you. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think...
Defending myself on the Rams take? Hold on a second. Defending myself on the Rams take. I'm saying it's better... if the Rams would have turned that first-round pick with Alex Leatherwood and another first-round pick into Russell Wilson and some offensive fucking linemen, everybody changes their tone, don't they? Everybody's like, oh, well, guess what? Those three, or what'd you say, the last 6 first-round picks went through the shitter? This is why it works.
5?
Okay, you give 5 first-round picks for the best left tackle in football, and everybody says how shitty it is, but it's like, no, we would have fucked up the picks anyways. Some teams need to trade the first-round picks because they're not hitting on them.
But at some point, when you don't get assets for those picks, though, when you hold on to them and you do whiff time and time again, it's going to come back to you.
Yeah, that's like impossible to get out of that hole if you're just constantly fucking up the draft. Like, I look at Cleveland with quarterbacks. Like, it's just, you know, that's just how it happens. Let's go into departures here. Quarterback Marcus Mariota. He went to the Falcons. He's the new starting quarterback there. Wide receiver DeSean Jackson, he's gone. Wide receiver Zay Jones, he went to the Jags. Offensive guard Richie Incognito, he retired. He's going to be bullying people at the nursing home. Defensive end Yannick Ngakoue, he was traded to the Colts. Defensive tackle Quentin Jefferson went to the Seahawks. Linebacker Corey Littleton, he went to the Panthers. And then cornerback Casey Hayward went to the Falcons. Any big names stick out to you here in this departures list?
No, really no. This team, maybe Casey Hayward, this team struggled in the secondary last year to begin with.
Yeah.
They did pick up Rakyasin and Anthony Everett, as you said, but otherwise not too much.
And those guys aren't even like, you know, they're not like considered really good. Those are like just average corners that they picked up. Put them in there.
But just
you
really
start
good
more than
the 14
Raiders. Games. Yeah, yeah. You get some of those positions that the Raiders throw out there. Those guys are not starters. Not starters at all. But that's what happens when you whiff on the draft picks. I think Richie Incognito retiring affects him a little bit. I think it does. He's been a good offensive lineman since he came back from the Raiders. He's been a good.
That's true.
You know,
I mean, a good. He's always been the guy that takes just bad penalties at times.
Yeah.
But he's had a starting job in the NFL for a long time for a reason.
He's not known for his character, but he can block.
Right.
And yeah, them losing offensive line help when they just don't have an offensive line to begin with, that's not good. So let's go through their draft here. In the third, they took offensive guard Dylan Parham. So they did try to get some help. Fourth round, they took running back Zamir White and defensive tackle Neil Farrell Jr. This is their draft up until the fourth round. They didn't have any picks before this because they picked up Devontae. They filled the hole. They got a guard.
They plugged a hole, man.
They literally plugged the gaping hole with just a little earplug.
Again, though, I mean, like I said, with the Broncos, you can pretty much sum it up as they traded all their top picks away. I think they did what they could. Dylan Parham's a solid guard to pick up in the third round. Zamir White in the fourth, that could turn into something. And they, not that they have bad running backs, but they don't. They obviously don't have elite running backs. So Josh Jacobs gets hurt pretty frequently over the course of his career. So a little bit of added depth there isn't a bad thing.
No, definitely not. All right, Nathan, I'll give you this one. Four is yours. Tell me about the Las Vegas Raiders. Tell me what they're doing.
So the offense, aside from the offensive line, I love it. The offensive line, though, like that is killing me. I actually had them finishing, I want to say it was 11-6 when they made this Devontae Adams trade. And over time, the thought of their offensive line, just mentally, I can't imagine how Derek Carr is going to feel. It's just beating me down little by little. So defensively, I think they're going to be probably average, you know, middle of the pack in the league. Nothing too crazy. But I think the offensive line is going to come back to haunt them in the end. But I'll leave you with this.
Okay.
Who did we say that about last year?
Offensive line? The Bengals. Bengals had a big offense and an offensive line. You're right. I will one up you, though. One had Joe Burrow and the other one had Derek Carr. Who would you rather have for the next 5 years, and how sure are you on that? It's Joe Burrow 1,000%. That's the difference, I think.
I'll give that to you, but I
you have to.
Let's not downplay Carr too much, though.
I'm going to. You want me to go into mine?
Derek Carr.
You want me to go into mine? What'd you
Derek
say?
Derek Carr does. No, not yet. Not yet. Derek Carr does, since he came into the league, lead the league in fourth quarter comebacks. Derek Carr has done a lot considering the situations in that Raiders organization.
Okay.
Now, here's another question I want to bring up, though. Is the Josh McDaniels experiment 2.0?
There's so many. Exactly. We're just ignoring. You're just, like, covering up this shit. You're just like, hey, look at my Lamborghini. But then you open up the trunk and there's like three dead bodies in it and the fucking tire's flat. Like, oh, don't look at that. But look at the Lamborghini. You got Devontae, Derek Carr. And then, oh, Josh McDaniels, don't ignore him. Ignore him. Offensive line. I can't.
Here, check out Darren line. Waller.
Yeah, Darren Waller. Renfro. It's like, all right.
I get it. Like, I don't know. But Josh McDaniels, that's going to be a question mark too. Any coach from the Bill Belichick or, you know, tree, there's going to be some question marks that come along with that, especially when they've already not done well as a head coach once.
Charlie Weiss was a legend. I don't know what you're talking about. And Matt Patricia was one of the best Detroit Lions coaches I've ever seen.
Anyway, so I have the Raiders. I remember how high I had him.
You did.
I think it was 12. It was 11 or 12 wins I had him at. I've got him at 9-8 now.
9-8. Okay, I like it. Honestly, it's not that bad. I hope they go 9-8. I really like this Raiders team, even though I'm about to fucking shred them to pieces. They have a great receiving core. Absolutely amazing. They got Waller, Renfro, and Adams, as we talked about. That's big. I mean, they still got Foster Moreau, too, which he's a great backup tight end. Honestly, he could be a tight end, starting tight end on a lot of teams, I think. But damn, you can't ignore the fucking O-line. The O-line, it's like you got this perfect girl. It's like, oh, yeah, she likes to cook. She loves your family. She's nice to you. She's honest. And then it's like, oh, she's got $100 million in credit card debt. It's like you can't ignore the $100 million in credit card debt. There's obviously some underlying problems there. And, I mean, you talked about Derek Carr. You're like, ooh, he didn't have that bad of a year last year. 4,800 yards passing. Very, very good. Leads the league in fourth quarter comebacks. He puts himself in those situations, but okay. 23 touchdowns and 14 interceptions last year for Derek Carr. In a 17-game season, and this guy's supposed to be a gunslinger. He threw 23 fucking touchdowns and threw 14 interceptions. He had 13 fumbles also on the year. He had more turnovers than he had touchdowns last year in the NFL. But just cover that up. That's what the Raiders are this year. Just cover everything up and forget about Gruden. We got Josh McDaniels now. You know, forget about the whole line. We got Devontae Adams. And now the whole offense revolves around how well the guy that turned the ball over more times than he threw passing touchdowns, the whole offense revolves around him and how well he throws the football. I like Derek Carr. I do like Derek Carr. But I think if you had the chance to get Russ, I would have gotten Russ over him. I would have, you know, obviously Rodgers.
True.
Everybody in the market except for maybe Jimmy G. But I think even Jimmy G could be argued, because I think Jimmy G would do all right in this offense. And if you're going to say, like, oh, I'm not going to put the fumbles on him because that could have just been how bad the O-line is. That's a negative. That's a part of the problem, you know. Like, either way, if you argue any of that,
it's a valid point for Derek Carr, but a negative for the Raiders overall.
Exactly. And I feel like that's what a lot of these arguments for Derek Carr is. It's like defending Derek Carr. But the team is still not good, so it's not going to equal the end to anything. And I haven't even talked about Josh Jacobs, who cannot stay healthy and was playing in preseason games because Josh McDaniels does not believe in him. He does not believe in him one bit. I've seen the reports. I've seen all the stuff. There's no way that Josh McDaniels thinks Josh Jacobs is going to be the starting running back going forward. Man. Josh McDaniels, let's not forget what the last thing he did was. It was drafting Tim Tebow, and it was going 3-9 and getting fired in the second season with Denver. He wasn't known for drafting very well, so he's going to fit right into Oakland. I think this is the worst team in the division. I think they're going 8-9, and they're missing the playoffs.
I think that's fair.
Thank you.
Even at 9-8, I think they missed the playoffs there.
Yeah.
And what I do think is, I think this Derek Carr situation, the Derek Carr and Devontae Adams, I think it'll work out in the 100%. Next few years.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's this year. I don't think this is going to be a first-year fix situation.
Look at Kirk Cousins in Washington, the years that they were barely missing the playoffs. He was putting up great numbers. He's putting up great numbers. Yeah. Carr and Adams can do the same thing, but they lose games because they lose 38 to 35 some games. Or they get blown out because the offensive line can't fucking block shit. You know, I think that's just kind of what we're going to see with this this Vegas team this year. I think if they can add to the offensive line and there's no new quarterback that comes out of nowhere, maybe run it back with Joe. If this team had a good O-line, I'd believe it a lot more. Like, a lot more.
I would, absolutely.
Because Derek Carr with a bad O-line, that's not good. Derek Carr with an average O-line is good. Him with a great O-line, we don't know because we've never fucking seen it.
We've never seen it.
Never seen it. So, 8-9 for me. All right. Let's talk about KC, baby. Let's talk.
You're ready for this one. I know.
This is my team. I have like six teams, I guess. Kansas City, 12-5 in 2021. They lost in the AFC Championship game, 24-27 in overtime. Additions. Ronald Jones from the Bucs, he signed a one-year deal. Wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster, he signed a one-year deal worth $10.75 million. He came from the Steelers. Wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling from the Packers, he signed a three-year $30 million deal. Defensive end Carlos Dunlap from Seattle, he signed a one-year deal for $8 million. Linebacker Jermaine Carter Jr., he came from Carolina, he signed a one-year deal. Safety Justin Reed from the Texans signed a three-year $31.5 million deal. And defensive back Lonnie Johnson was acquired in a trade with the Houston Texans in exchange for a 2024 conditional seventh-round pick. I want to talk to you specifically about a couple guys. We're going to just go through this, okay? Juju, what do you think is the possibility? Give me just a percentage, I guess. Percentage chance that Juju has his best season of his career this season.
90%.
Ooh, okay, I like it. Let me hear it.
I'll tell you what. I am much higher on this Chiefs team than you think I am.
Okay.
Over the last 2 weeks, I kind of dove into this Chiefs team and started to look at everything. And you're going to talk about this in a minute. When I initially did my rankings, it was right after the draft. I told you, this Chiefs schedule is tough.
Very.
Their schedule is very tough. The record I'm going to say at the end does not fully reflect how I feel about this team whatsoever.
All for it.
Hey, I think they're better than that record.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of teams like that. Strength schedule bites them on the ass.
Juju, and I think Marquez Valdez-Scantling can play a good role in this offense too. Like,
maybe
is going to force.
I'll let you. Yeah, you go on.
It's going to force KC to be a little bit more well-rounded. One thing that, you know, obviously it was always Tyreek and Travis Kelce. If they were doubling Tyreek, he went to Kelce. If they were doubling Kelce, it went to Tyreek. He's going to be forced to throw the ball to a few number of different targets. So I think that's going to help. Carlos Dunlap is also low-key a pickup I really like.
Yeah.
This team struggled at times last year to get to the quarterback, and I like that pick. They've got, who else is on their defensive line?
Frank Clark?
No, I think, is it James Clark that they had him at defensive end last year? He's naturally a defensive tackle. Anyway, moving him back to defensive tackle for Frank Clark. That's who it is. Yeah, so I think this, and Justin Reed, they lost the Honey Badger last year.
I want to save the Honey. We got to save the safety.
I know.
Because I want to save it for the departures.
Okay, all right. I won't talk about him yet, though.
I'll just stick with Scantling and Juju. I really think that Valdez-Scantling is going to be like what we wanted Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman to turn into. You know, kind of just a reliable, like, I feel like Pringle and Hardman really tried to do too much for this offense, and that's what sent him back. I think Scantling and Juju, those guys are going to be guys that are going to go in there and get business done. They're not going to do anything crazy, try to burn anybody. And Juju, he's not going to be getting doubled. He's going to be, one-on-one because they're going to be going crazy with Kelce. I just think this is a lot of weapons. I low-key really like Ronald Jones, too. Really, really like that pickup.
It's a big pickup.
Yeah. Like, I'm really good
need, into it. They need help at running back. Like,
yeah.
And with Clyde, I really... it was a questionable pick at the time for me in the first round. And I still question it to this day. He fumbles the ball. I just... And even last year, we saw a couple of receivers come up while he was down and put up the same production, if not better. I don't understand what the thought is there. And you know, with Mahomes, you don't need an elite running game, obviously, you know, when you've got Mahomes. So
true.
It's hard to critique it too much because obviously you don't want to go out and pay a running back a ton of money.
Yeah.
When you've got Mahomes.
Let's go through some subtractions here. They lost running back Darrell Williams. He went to the Cardinals. Wide receiver Tyreek Hill, he was traded to the Dolphins. Wide receiver Byron Pringle, he went to the Bears. Defensive tackle Jerron Reed, he went to the Packers. Linebacker Melvin Ingram went to the Dolphins. Cornerback Travaris Ward, he went to the 49ers. Safety Tyrann Mathieu, he went to the Saints. And also safety Daniel Sorensen, he went to the Saints as well. You want to start with Tyreek? You want to talk about the Tyreek thing? How big of an impact do you think that's going to have on this offense? Let me leave it at that.
What I will say is this offense is going to look a lot different in the way they operate and the way they, you know, move the ball downfield. But overall, as far as production goes, I don't think it's going to change very much at all.
Yeah, I agree. I told you whenever this trade happened, because you were really big on this Tyreek Hill thing really fucking everybody up.
True.
You know, you were the first guy that was like, dude, this is going to really impact their offense, which Tyreek Hill is unbelievable. I mean, he's one of the fastest wide receivers we've ever seen. A great deep ball threat. He caught 9 touchdowns last year. He caught 1,200 yards. You're telling me you can't get that production from Juju, or you can't get that production from Valdes-Scantling, like, combined together? Like, come on.
Yeah.
No, 100%. And guess what? That also means Kelce, who's a more reliable target than Tyreek Hill, is going to get more targets. These are not negatives to me. If they would have did what Baltimore would have done, or what Baltimore did, and just not picked up anybody.
Right, and not pick anybody.
Yeah. Like, that would have been – then I would have been bitching and moaning about him. I don't like losing Darrell Williams, but they picked up Ronald Jones, which I think is a better pickup for a backup running back. Tyrann Mathieu, he wasn't that good last year. He was not that good at all. He gave up a lot of big plays in that Bengals game, too, in the playoffs. I think the Justin Reed pickup is low-key going to be maybe the biggest pickup for the Chiefs this season, other than Juju.
I want to talk about this one a little bit.
Okay, let's break it down.
Because about midway through last year, I saw a shift in the Chiefs' defense because Tyrann Mathieu, for the last few years while he was in Kansas City, was kind of the vocal, you know,
leader.
He was the leader of that defense. They got a new guy last year, Nick Bolton, middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Who showed he can lead that defense. He can, you know, be the quarterback of that defense out there. So I don't, as far as a production standpoint goes, you know, as far as a guy who can call that defense and make the plays there, I don't think you're going to lose that in Justin Reed and Nick Bolton there. I think they're going to be fine. I don't mind them losing Honey Badger much at all.
Okay. I like that because I'm going to use a lot of this against you. Not even against you, but I'm going to use this for my argument. let's go through the draft here. In the first, they took cornerback Trent McDuffie and also defensive end George Karlaftis, that's it. Damn it, I wrote that one down, but I didn't say it. Second round, they took wide receiver Sky Moore and safety Brian Cook. Third round, they took linebacker Leo Chino. And fourth round, they took cornerback Joshua Williams. Nathan, anything big? I mean, Sky Moore, another offensive weapon. It could be, potentially.
Trey McDuffie. They haven't been, by never I mean in the last few years, in the Mahomes era, been particularly strong in the secondary. Trent McDuffie's
they've never been good in defense there. In general. Mahomes has never had a general. Top 10 defense ever.
Yeah. So I think, and along with Sky Moore, there's another guy to keep an eye on too, if he can stay healthy, because that's the reason he wasn't drafted. He was an undrafted free agent, Justin Ross from Clemson, 5-star recruit. Just battled injuries. You know, if the guy can stay healthy, he's going to be an impact player. I could see him taking over kind of that deep threat role. Him and Sky Moore both. You know,
wow.
Just fast guys on the edge. So
nothing wrong with fast guys on this offense, especially with Andy Reid.
Yeah, and Mahomes' arm.
True. Yeah, you can see a lot of like think about all the stuff they did with Tyreek. Tyreek's big thing was also his dual threat stuff. They did that little, remember they invented like the forward pass shit where the wide receiver run across and they'd give Mahomes a touchdown even though he fucking shuffled it 2 yards in front of him. Yeah, they have so much speed now with Sky Moore and like you said, that kid from Clemson. Like those guys can fill that spot. So it's like, that's why I just don't think that Tyreek Hill loss was that big.
Because you got Andy Reid is a creative guy. He's gonna figure it out.
Yeah, I really their strength of schedule is hard. Tied for fifth this year, 154-135 record for the opponents in 2021. Nathan, if you don't mind, can I take KC first?
So for hold on, real quick.
Okay.
I want to say that the strength of schedule only takes into account last year's record.
True, very true.
This schedule plays a lot tougher than because you gotta remember two of those games are against the Broncos who were 7-10 last year.
Yeah.
This schedule plays a little bit tougher than that. Anyway, go ahead.
Realistically, yeah, this team probably has one of the hardest schedules. Maybe top. I'd say top three, just from us going through and talk the pods off the top of my head. I love this KC team. I do. I really think losing Tyreek might have made me like him more. Just because now I feel like Mahomes had a lot of... He would tunnel in on Tyreek. He would really force some balls to Tyreek. Now he has to spread the offense. And I think that's also what Andy Reid wants him to do. Spread the offense out. You have all... Here you go. Here's all these toys. Play with all of them. That's what he wants them to do. Don't play with just one toy. And also, if you want to, you have a reliable one in Travis Kelce. If you're going to rely on one, I would much rather you rely on Travis Kelce. I really like them adding Juju as well. You know, he's not going to put up crazy, you know. I think he might catch, if you told me, 8 or 9 touchdowns, maybe even 10, over 1,000 yards. I'd believe it, you know. And honestly, I was just about to say, I don't think he can fill the void that Tyreek left, but that fills it right there, statistic-wise. You know, and that's the crazy thing, is Tyreek's not putting up these crazy numbers that we think he is. He was a couple of years ago, but he's not anymore. It's just because Mahomes has to spread the ball around. I really think that Juju is going to strive in this offense. Losing the Honey Badger, as we talked about, it sucks on paper. On paper and Madden, it's going to suck. But I think Justin Reed's going to play better than him. I think he's going to fill that void, like you said, and he's going to fucking destroy that void. He's going to be destroying that void. He's hammering that void. I think that Justin Reed is going to be a great fill-in for the Honey Badger. And on top of all that, I want to talk about Ronald Jones. I want to talk about Ronald Jones because he gets me excited. We saw Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams? I think it's Darrell, right?
I think it's Darrell.
It's Darrell Williams. I like Darrell Williams. I had him on my fantasy team. Great receiving back, not that good of a runner. I think Ronald Jones, if Edwards-Helaire goes out, I think Ronald Jones can do what Darrell Williams couldn't do last year, and that's take the spot from Edwards-Helaire. Andy Reid is going into this season too. There's going to be so much more pressure on Edwards-Helaire because he's underperformed every goddamn year that he's been in this league. And I'm tired of seeing him on this offense because he's really holding them back. I think Ronald Jones is a receiving back. He can catch some passes. And also, I mean, he was sitting behind Fournette, so we didn't really get to see him that much. I think he can still hit the hole pretty hard. KC still has a pretty decent offensive line. You know, I think Ronald Jones, if Edwards-Helaire bounces out, I think he could really be like a missing piece type thing for this KC offense. I'm even going that far with a backup running back. How do you like that?
That's big, man.
That is big. That is big. But I really think he – I would much rather have try Ronald Jones two or three games starting at running back than Edwards-Helaire. That's where I'm at on Edwards-Helaire. I think this is the year that Mahomes goes back to the top of the mountain, because there's been a lot of talks these last couple of years, but he's still making AFC championships. He's still doing all this. This is the year he really needs to step up to. You lost Tyreek. If Miami goes out and goes 10-6, if you're not going above 10-6, people are saying like, oh, Mahomes can't win without Tyreek, all this shit. You know, like you're going to have so much, there's a lot of pressure on this season. And I think Mahomes lives for that. I think he's arguably the most talented quarterback in the league. I would take him maybe over just about anybody. And I think he's just going to throw for an ungodly amount of passing yards and touchdowns. They added the defense. I know it's going to be a hard record, but I think a lot of those games, KC's going to fucking put their foot down and stamp it. I can see him beating the Bengals. I can see him beating the Rams. This is me, Mr. Optimistic for KC, 12-5. They're winning the division.
How do you see the Week 6 matchup against the Bills going?
I think they're losing the Bills. That I did give to the Bills. Bills got a good defense.
They do, and I think the Bills are – they're going to – The Bills are going to come back with a vengeance this year, I feel like. But we're not talking about them. The Chiefs. Here we go. So, I completely agree with you. I think this, like I said, this offense is, my first reaction was, I don't know how this is going to go. Like I said, I'm a lot higher. What record do you think I was going to say coming into this?
10-7.
All right, I'm a little bit. I'm more generous than that. I'll give you that. The over under is 10.5.
10.5.
Now, like I said, coming into the season, as soon as that Tyreek Hill trade was made, my initial thought was, obviously, this isn't good. But as the more I started thinking about it, is between Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, I think they're going to be able to make it work. Like I said, this offense is going to look a lot different in the way they move the ball down the field. I don't think you're going to see nearly as many, you know, quick shot touchdowns, because Tyreek Hill provided a lot of that. I think you're not going to see quite as much deep down the field. I think they're still going to find ways to include that in there, because you have to when Mahomes has an arm like that. Defensively, I think, like I said, adding to the secondary, I think Justin Reed's going to be a fine replacement for the Honey Badger. He's an older dude. Tyrann Mathieu. And I think, like, with Nick Bolton leading the defense, I think they're going to be fine there. Hopefully, like you said, Mahomes has made, what is it, 2 AFC championships and a Super Bowl in his first... 3 AFC championships?
At least 3 now, yeah.
I don't know. Whatever it is, it's stupid. But they're going to make it work. I think they're going 12-5. I agree with you.
Okay. I like it. I like it. I think, I mean, honestly, if they go 10-7, I wouldn't be surprised. But they're a 10-7 team that's going to make the AFC championship. In fact, I'm going to go out the limb. This is my Super Bowl team. I'm picking KC. That's my big hot take. KC's winning the Super Bowl this year. They're doing it. This is the year. Mahomes is going back to... And once he wins it, I can't wait for all you bitches to still be saying,
oh, Justin Herbert, they went 11-6 this year. He's better than Mahomes.
Shut the fuck up. Get out of here with that.
The Chargers are going to finish 11-6, and the Chiefs are going to finish 10-7. The Chiefs win the Super Bowl, and...
Everybody's like,
Herbert. Herbert's better. He's better.
Okay. All right. Oh, we got to go through the list as always. Denver. What do you got them going?
I had Denver at 12-5.
Damn. 10-7 for me. Chargers.
12-5.
11-6. Raiders.
9-8.
8-9. And then Kansas City. Both 12-5. We only had one.
12-5.
One the same this week. I like it.
I have a three-way tie at 12-5 for the division lead.
Okay. We have, that's, you have like a clusterfuck scenario that I really hope happens. Three just super dominant teams in one division. Okay, so we've got, we're done with the Octopod. This is the end of the Octopod. Any amendments that you want to make? Any teams that you're like, I think I was a little high on, or I think I was a little low on? Just off the top of your head.
I've got one that I think I was very low on.
Who's that?
The Saints. I think I had them. It was something like 4-13. I was incredibly low on the Saints. Like,
I was wrong with the Saints too.
The more I look at it, Jameis, you know, obviously he's coming off an injury, but he kept the interceptions to a minimum last season while still throwing for a lot of touchdowns. Not a crazy amount of yards, but still decent. You're adding Jarvis Landry to the mix. Chris Olave. Michael Thomas is coming back.
He's going to play week one, apparently.
Alvin Kamara's playing as far as I know. Yeah. So, and they're saying this is going to be a defensively led team, and that offense sounds pretty damn good.
Yeah. I had them at 6 wins, looking back on it. I went through. I think I put them.
I moved them to 9-8.
I think I can't go that high. I'm going 8-9. Just because Dennis Allen is the head coach. They're going from Sean Payton to Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen, if you don't remember, he was the coach for the Raiders. And he fucking sucked. He fucking sucked. And like Bill Simmons said this. I know I take a lot of shit from Bill Simmons. But he said this about Dennis Allen. And he's like, some guys just are supposed to be coordinators. This is, okay, now this is my words. Romeo Crennel. I liked him as a head coach, but he just wasn't a good head coach. He's a better coordinator. Patricia, better coordinator. McDaniels, so far, better coordinator. A lot of these guys just need to stick to the coordinator position. And I think Dennis Allen's probably, like, look at Steve Spagnuolo. That dude couldn't coach, he couldn't coach shit. He couldn't coach anybody. Bad coach, bad head coach, but a great defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. You know? I think the Saints, at most, will win 8 games. But I am bumping them up from, I think I had them 5 or 6 wins. So I'm bumping them up. I think I had the Giants with 4 wins. I'm pretty sure I said the Giants with 4 wins.
Are you going more than that?
I think I'm believing in the Giants a little bit. Or I think I'm going to drop the Giants a little bit. I think that's what I'm going to say.
You're going to drop them. Okay.
I'm dropping them a little bit. Just because...
I was going to say, you need to explain yourself.
No. I'm very curious about Saquon. I think Saquon's going to be healthy this year. Put it out in the universe because I have him on my fantasy team. But I really do think he's going to be healthy this year.
Even with Saquon healthy, though, this is still a bad team.
Yeah. Offensive tackle Evan Neal is looking horrible. Horrible. Like, he's getting cooked left and right. Let me see how many wins I had them at. I had them going 5-2. I think I'll drop that down to more like 4-13 range. I think they might have.
I've got a, number two. I had them at 3-14.
Damn.
I think the Giants are going to make a run at worst team in the league.
I don't see that not happening for sure. The Giants definitely have a good case for that. Them in Chicago. Do. Chicago's a nice sneaky one too.
Chicago is. And Seattle.
Seattle I had, I think I might bump Seattle up a little bit because I think Drew Locke and Noah Fant might have a couple good games.
Don't say that.
I'm just kidding. No. I'm done with the amendments. I'm good. I've set mine in stone.
I think I'm going to bump the Patriots to 8 wins. I had them at 6.
Okay. That's not bad.
And
I might drop the Patriots.
Really? just on the grounds of
I think Bill Belichick finds ways to win a lot of games. They've got a good home field advantage, extremely cold. They love that. They can just run the ball down your throat. As well, Devontae Parker, if he can stay healthy, is the best receiver we've seen in New England in quite some time. So
it's not saying much, though.
I know, but I'll give him 8 and 9.
My thing is, we found another. We get a lot of reoccurring themes of how teams are doing, because the bad ones kind of follow each other, and the good ones kind of follow each other. The Patriots remind me of one of the bad ones. Let's talk about their first round picks that they've had.
I know.
It's not been good. It's not been.
I have one losing record. Is that not good enough?
I mean, yeah, I guess. All right. Final thoughts. Actually, do you want to have a joint final thought, or do you have anything specific?
Go ahead.
Let's talk about our fantasy teams. Why the fuck did I take Zeke and Saquon? Horrible picks.
Horrible.
Horrible.
No, but here's the thing. That you very well, if they stay healthy, there's a lot of ifs there.
You've got
a lot of upside. You have a lot of upside on your team.
My thing
but
is,
there's
is
a
I,
lot of ifs.
I look at my team with just Saquon and Zeke. And it's like, dude, if these guys are good, they're really good, and I'm going to be fine. But even if they're, like, average, I'm not going to be able to trade them for shit. Because nobody wants
right.
to deal with that shit.
Nobody's going to trust that.
Yeah. How do you feel about your team?
I'm feeling I would like a little bit more running back depth. I kind of handcuff myself, but I'm feeling good. My depth is Cam Akers, who I don't know what kind of a role he's going to play, and James
Cook.
Hopefully
not a big one, because I got Daryl Henderson Jr. Hopefully not a big one.
And James Cook. I took James Cook. I think he's going to ride the bench for the first few weeks, but as they kind of progress and find more of a role from him there, I think he could be a big contributor.
I hope you're a year too early with James Cook. That's what I'm hoping for. Because I really like James Cook.
But it's worth a flyer.
I really think the Bills might take a little bit to figure them out, though. But
I think they could.
Who was your quarterback? Who'd you end up getting?
I picked up Russ, and like it was the 10th or 11th round.
Russ. I think Russ is going to have a good year. Like, he had good stats last year in limited. 25 touchdowns and 6 picks last year for Russ in 14 games. On a bad team, you're only throwing 6 interceptions. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's gonna be good, man.
What do you think? Where do you think you're finishing in the fantasy?
It's a 10-man league. I think I'll probably finish 6th.
I think I'm finishing 9th. Sorry, a bunch of people walked in.
All good.
Yeah, I think they're gonna finish 9th, or I'm gonna finish 9th. I don't. You want to share our fantasy team names?
Nobody got mine, man.
What, the Aaron Rodgers one?
Yeah, nobody gets it.
Wow, I got it. I'm on your side. Nobody got mine either.
No, yours is great.
Mine's pretty. Mine is Deshaun Watts under my towel. That was my fantasy name. Okay. We'll end it up.
And mine is Ayahuasca the Grouch.
That's a good nickname.
I know. Nobody got it.
All right. Nathan, you know what to say.
Spread the word.
Spread.
New glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.